Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Clint McPherson, and I'm usually joined by my co-host, right, Andrew Lees, who typically kicks this show off, guys, but he's out of the office today, so I'm flying solo. With that said, let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our guest. I'm super excited to have Mike Ulrich on the show today. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing really well, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, man, before we kick this thing off and before I let you, like, introduce yourself, man, I saw that you have an affiliation or some kind of, you know, relationship with where I'm from. I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. Okay.
So Are you really?
You think I know where I'm going with this right now, right?
No
blooded, brother. No blooded. Garnet and gold. Tell me about that, brother.
First of all, that is so fantastic. I'm so glad that just happened. Yeah, man, I went to school there. I graduated from there. I am one of the biggest Seminole fans you will meet. I know our roster back and forth for football, basketball, baseball, huge sports guy. And yeah, I bleed the garnet and gold as well, man.
Man, brother, I'm so glad, man. When I was doing a little bit of deep dive on you this morning because I didn't have much to go off of. And when I started researching, man, I was like, Florida State University? What? I was like, what? That's what I'm talking about. So I got hyped because, dude, I was going to cancel, to be honest, because I wasn't feeling it with Andrew not being able to make it today. And so, you know, he's going through a little bit right now. And I was like, man, I don't know if I feel right doing it without him. But, man, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I got to meet you. But with that said, man, it's great to have you on the show. And before we get into everything, go ahead and tell our listeners who you are and what you're all about, brother.
Yeah, man. So I'm Mike. I'm a former failed rapper, drummer, producer who really loves music. And I've always been involved in the music industry. And I started a platform called Drippy K Song of the Day, where I basically play A&R and finding new music. And I love helping artists, give people exposure to their music and help them, you know, gain fans and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man, that sounds awesome. So with all that said, right, you just mentioned that you're a former drummer, rapper, producer, and I know you're also a global marketing specialist at Sony Records, right? And also, after doing some research, I know you always had and enjoyed music, okay, and making music and being around the music scene itself. But through that, man, through your journey, we all started somewhere, right? And with all that, we have origin stories and backgrounds. But can you take us back to when your journey actually started? And how old were you when you realized that you had a special ear for talent, brother, that allowed you to get where you are today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it all started back in middle school. I was one of the first kids in my school to have I had a little 5-disc CD burner. Like, my dad was super tech nerd, and he gave me one. And so, like, I was like, I had Napster and LimeWire and all that stuff first, right? And I had the good internet speed too. And so I would just go to my school and I would tell people I could burn CDs for them for $3 a pop. And they would write their playlist down on that journal paper of, like, what songs they wanted. I would download it for them. And then I'd always throw in, like, a couple ones that I liked, and I'd burn them CDs and I'd give it to them. They'd give me $3 and I started hustling that way. And that's, like, when I first realized, like, hey, you know, they would come back and say, yo, that was good. I like those other songs too. And I'd be like, hey, maybe I have an ear for this music thing. So I think innately it started that young.
Dude, that's awesome, man. It's always cool to hear the origin story of somebody and how exactly they went down the path to get to where they are today, right? And just hearing that from you, it just takes everybody back, and they can all relate to, okay, it started here, right? Even if you're 40, man, and it started when you're 40, it still ignites that fire in their brain, and they know, takes them back to that moment to where their journey started. And that the path they're on, you know, I believe things happen for a reason. You're always where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, man.
That's damn straight, man. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little about the music business, man. And I mean, I know you have a vast experience in it, and the opportunity you saw when you started up Drippy K Song of the Day, which is crazy, man. I love the design. I love the drip coming off the D, man. It's like that's dope. And so I know as a music artist, right, similar to being a podcaster, there's so many different things out there. There's so many different genres, right? There's so many different artists. And it's hard for us, or hard for them as well, to like break through and get noticed because there's so much clutter and things going on. And so when it's a tough scene to catch a break in, man, when did you realize that your actual mission, because I read the mission statement from, Drippy K Song of the Day, which is twofold. And I think that's awesome because typically we're always short-sighted and we have that one generalized focus and one little mission art, right? And it always has an end state to it. But when did you realize that it was twofold and not only geared towards listeners, but to make sure and ensure that the artists themselves get the shine and love that they deserve, man?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, it's one of those things like, people start businesses and all that, and they think they got it all figured out on paper and they have their 1, 3, 5, 10 year plans and all that, which is great. But what I've learned is it's trial by error, learn by doing, right? So like, initially started it the same way I started burning CDs. Like I made playlists, I would play them at pool parties with drinking with our buddies and all that stuff. And they'd be like, that song's dope. I've never heard this song. You should do something with this, right? And so it's the idea. And then I was originally just starting it to do like to help people who music lovers like myself find new music that they don't hear on top 40 radio, or they don't know where to find it. Or, you're always like led down this path by Spotify of who to like and what to like and all that. And so that's how that started. And then as I'm doing it and I'm finding these artists, I would just like DM them on Instagram and I'd be like, hey, we're going to feature your song. Like do with it what you will. Like you can share it, put it on your story, like all this stuff. Like, we're going to give you a whole day. And then it kind of like by trial and error, it just became this thing where like the artists are really starting to appreciate it. They're hitting me back. They're talking about me now on their stuff. And then it became this whole thing of like, well, I should like really like focus on the artist side too, because they love being featured for a whole day. It's cool to be on the Spotify playlist, but you're sharing the shine with 150 other artists on one playlist. Now they're like, I get a whole day to myself. I'm going to take advantage of this. And then you just spark these relationships with artists and labels and managers and A&R. And it just spiraled into this thing. And I just, you just kind of go with it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's powerful. Cause look, it's the same way I'm doing podcasting right now, right? That it's like you form these relationships and these bonds with individuals that you never even would probably talk to outside of this. I'm not saying me and you would have never hit it off, right? You're a Florida State fan, so we would have definitely been like best buds, right? Because like you just said, man, the rosters from front and back for every sport. I'm the same way, brother. I mean, I grew up there 17 years of my life, had season tickets to go to, most of the games when I was younger with my stepdad. So we're there all the time. And now I'm living in North Carolina, dude. I go to every game that they come to, NC State, Duke, North Carolina. And then even when they're not playing here, I'll go back home and go watch them. I'm that dedicated, brother.
We're going to need to have a separate podcast started of just you and I talking shop football.
Like, dude, just I love it, man. We can make, let's make it happen, dude, for That's sure. Serious. So when you reached out and officially booked our show, right. For us to record today, you mentioned that you initially failed on the creative side of the house. And I didn't really know what you meant by that when you put it into some of the discussion points that we can talk about, but can you go into that a little more in detail about that and kind of explain to our listeners how you overcame that adversity and how you're actually making up for it now, man?
Yeah. So I think the reason why I really am enjoying doing Drippy is this is my way of like giving back to the world in a small way. People can donate money or they start. It's like, this is my way because I was a struggling artist. I wanted to be a big name artist in one way, shape or form at some point, like early on in my teens, in my early 20s, all that stuff. Right. So like when I was in high school, I taught myself how to play drums. I would watch Blink 182, Travis Barker videos, like literally taught myself. I started a band with a couple buddies called Whirling Dervish. It was really cool, really fun. And then, you go to college and that kind of all slips away and all that. So then I had a roommate, my freshman year in college, and he showed me this thing called Fruity Loop Studios. And it was like producing beats, right? And that was like really cool at the time. And I like, he like helped like tutor me through and mentor me through how to make beats and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed that. And so I made beats for a couple like local rappers in Tallahassee and stuff. And we made a little bit of money and it was cool. And again, like you get like drawn into that like kind of stuff. Oh, I'm going to be the next great producer. And then I was like, well, you know, if I really want to get on the scene, I should learn how to rap. So like we like made joke songs in Tallahassee about like Facebook, and we made songs about just stupid stuff. And then I met my buddy Dean Moon, my buddy Dean Moon is like one of the best rappers I've ever met in my life. He's amazing. And so we had a little group called 40 Long, and it was like the most serious of like any group that I had ever been in. So we started making really good songs. We make really good videos. We had a manager. We were really trying to get signed to a label. You know, things didn't work out for whatever creative differences or whatever, but we're on great terms and all that stuff. And I was like, kind of left like, damn, that was the one, that was the shot that I thought it was going to work. I was going to be like a touring artist or a musician or whatever, which was like, you know, the pipe dream, like everyone had that in their early 20s, they want to do that. And we were there, we were close. We were really working and on the same page of that goal. It didn't work out and that's cool. And I've always, and then I like stopped with music. I was like, you know what, music's just not it. I'll do other stuff. And so I always, you know, you feel that little void. You're like, you're always drawn to it. And you're like, what can I do? What can I do? How can I get back in it? So yeah, that's what I meant with like, I failed. Like I didn't become a rock star drummer. I didn't become a world famous Mike Will made it producer. I didn't become like the next great white satirical little Dicky rapper. And it was just like, it was heartbreaking because I'm in my mid 20s. I'm lost. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Like my dream's not really like panning out for me, and what's going to happen. So like from that perspective, it's just like, it sucked, man. And
yeah, you know. It's not always easy, right? The journey is not always what you think it's going to be. For me, I went to the military after playing college baseball, graduated college, went to the military after giving the civilian life a little bit of a go, right? Was in there between 8 to 10 years, you know, got injured, had several surgeries, decided to get out. And that crushed me, man, because when I joined the military, when I was an infantry officer, I was like, I'm a 20 life, right? 20 years. I'm going to be in here at least 20 years to life or whatever. And whenever they kick me out, push me out. But things changed, man. And I kind of accepted that. I went through the bout of depression and going through the why me's and everything and saying like, dude, what am I going to do now, man? You know, I love the military. I love what it stood for when I was in. I love the camaraderie, almost like I was in playing college baseball still, right? You have that team-like atmosphere. The only thing that sucked about the military, brother, to me, was not just the fact that I ended up getting injured, but it was the fact that I was detached from reality, right? Like I was detached from getting to follow the Knowles as much as I wanted to. Because limited internet, right? So when they're playing, I'm on a mission somewhere, right? Doing something in this country that like we probably don't even need to be there right now doing this. But I was there, and it was like, man, I would try to catch the score. And luckily for me, when I was in, we kind of took a little spiral, right? So I wasn't as heartbroken as I was when we were just dominating, you know. And because when I grew up, I was born in '83, brother. The Knowles winning was basically all I knew. That's it. Domination, right? I mean, and so nobody really understands that. And they're like, wow, how are you so passionate? Why are you so upset or whatever when I get mad when we start sucking? I'm like, dude, we need to bring back what we had, the culture we had then. And I think we're heading the right direction with Mike Norvell, for sure. I think Willie Taggart, not to go down too much of a rabbit hole with sports, but Willie Taggart, man, was just a bust. And I don't think that he had the credentials to be thrown in the spotlight at a Florida State, like a Lovey Smith or somebody else. Right. And I'm like, if we're going to hire this guy that really hasn't done anything, he's turned mediocre teams into average teams, right? Like somebody that's a little bit above average, has a winning record now. Great. I got it. But dude, he's not winning like conference championships, right? So So my heart was broken, man, when we were going through that bout. And then the Jimbo Fisher setting us up for failure type thing, man. Jimbo, we could go on and on for that, though.
I love Jimbo, man. He was my dude, and he left us high and dry, man.
Dude, he set us up for straight failure, man. I think though, when it came to the head button though, man, you know what I'm saying? Like it was, he needed money to get us where he wanted us to go. I think there was too much pushback. And then, I mean, you would have to be an idiot to turn down Texas A&M's money. They have endless amounts of money to throw at you.
Yeah. If you were guaranteed 75 mil, you probably, dude,
I couldn't blame him. but I did. I was a little hurt that I was like, man, look at the position you left us in, man. We're straight struggling. But let's get back to the show, man. My bad, guys. So, and when you also reached out, right? What is it? And I was looking at Drippy K, and what you stand for, right? And I'm sitting here looking like, okay, this is cool. You sit here and you put music together, playlists for individuals for the listeners to listen to. Of artists that, you know, you think are about to just break out of the scene. And most of the times, you know, it's about to happen. Right. So when you look at it, what is it that you look for in an actual artist and a song? And twofold of the question though, outside of that, and you got to fill me in on this. Hey, why and how you got dubbed as the Ivy League of blogging, man.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to go back real quick and say thank you for your service, man, and the time that you spent in the military.
Oh, I appreciate it, brother.
And that's awesome. Yeah. And so to answer your question, so for us to like an artist, right? Like, I have an intern now, so I could say us.
Yeah, well, that's cool because you're like we. And I was like, I know it's Mike running this thing. So
it's me.
You have a team. Got it.
Yeah. His name's Alex, and he really helps me out a lot. So shout out to Alex, too.
Awesome.
This, but yeah, so I mean, what we look for, it's really easy, right? Like, we want it to all feel real and organic, like everybody wants in everything they do, right? So we get submissions all the time. We get hundreds of submissions. We actually got accepted to this cool website called Submit Hub, where people submit their songs to us. We guarantee a 30-second listen, and then we give feedback and we actually get paid for it. And that's where like the entrepreneur part is. You know, we are starting to make a little bit of money off of this, which is cool. But we give everybody a listen, and basically the goal is, does it give us goosebumps? Like, if some female artist sings a song and it just like resonates like down your spine, you know that feeling when you hear something and you get those goosebumps, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. I don't know if
You're good, man. Like the Whitney Houston, right? You're like, exactly, holy.
Yeah. So it's that, or you hear something, you get, you know, that like dirty, scrunchy face where you're like, oh, this is just hitting. Like, that's criteria, man. Like, if that's it, that's our criteria. If that happens and you have a catchy ass hook and stuff like that, like, you're in. Like, we don't care what you look like. I don't care your background. Like, where's genre fluid? We don't care what genre you're in. Give me a hit record. That's what we're the Ivy League of music blogs, because we do one song a day. So we only take the best songs. And that's what I meant by that, is like, there's limited space. There's limited availability based on the platform that's created. So it has to be like the best song we've heard that week. You know what I mean? You know, otherwise you can just, you know, you can put a shit ton of songs in a playlist or whatever.
Yeah. Random ass songs that doesn't, like, what is this garbage, right?
Yeah. In order to get clout in this industry, like, you have to like be able to decipher like the great from the average and from the bad. That's hard. And that's why I think like my ear is good. And I finally found what I'm good at. And it's just the ear for like an up and coming artist. So I hate to toot my own horn. This feels weird to say, but that is what it is. And that's what we're doing.
Right. No, I love it, man, because it's fair to toot your own horn from time to time, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, a title like that, right, doesn't come easy, man, right? So I love that you made that, you know, connection there, because I think you're right. You hit it right on, right? Being dubbed the Ivy League of music blogs is legit. And I think if that's your criteria of making sure that it gives you the goosebumps and that you know when somebody listens to it, majority of the people are going to be like, oh, this song is the shit, right? I mean, they're going to be like, damn, like, this person has it. And that, and to make it as a musician, right, or a music artist, you have to have it to some degree, right? You don't have to be the most great looking person. You can, it can be whatever, but you have to have that sound, right? You have to have that sound that resonates with people. And if you can resonate with the people and have that story to go along with it, man, it takes you to the next level. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, I love it. And because I couldn't get enough of the website when I was going through it, reading about you. I think it was a Buzz Media article I actually read where, you know, they asked you some questions. And, man, everything, and you were telling them what you stood for, like the mission of you know, Jerpy K. And I was like, man, they're right on. And what really got me is I'm really focused on mission a lot, right, from my military background too. And so when I'm looking at mission and then you broke it down like you did, I was like, dude, you have it figured out, right? It's not one singular focus, you know, and I think a lot of companies get it wrong sometimes where they have a singular focus, right? They want to sell to everybody or they want to make money from everybody. And that's just not realistic. You got to know your role. You got to know who your audience is. You have to know who your avatar, the person you're trying to sell to is. And so I think a lot of them get that mixed up, man. No, for sure, man. So take me a little bit into more of the monetization part and how you're actually making money. I mean, I know you said you listened to it for 30 seconds or whatever, but how does that translate, you know, and help you? I guess, I don't know if you really, you know, deem yourself as an entrepreneur, but I would, right? I mean, and you might, I might be wrong in that, but I think even figuring out a way to make money in monetizing off of what you're currently doing is huge, man. And dude, kudos for you for figuring that out.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I just think like I'm in the very early stages of being an entrepreneur. Like I can see where this could be down the line. I can see Drippy K insert anything of the day, Drippy K shoe of the day, outfit of the day, you know, anything. Like it can be that as a brand. And I see that. You know, it's just, I know music. So that's it. The way that it got monetized was crazy. We were just like, I was Googling like how to make money off of a blog. And, I just saw like a couple sites that say like make money reviewing music. And one of them was submithub.com. And so I looked into it. It said that you have to apply, you know, numbers are everything and numbers don't lie. And you had to have like certain numbers on all your social media platforms and all that. And so I applied, I talked to the guys, I let them, you know, they interviewed me to like, be like, well, what do you do? What is your, like, why are you different, unique and all that stuff? So they ended up like allowing me to be one of their like bloggers. And basically it's just, you know, kids and artists these days, the way that they get found is what? On the internet, right? On YouTube, getting featured on blogs like, you know, Pigeons and Planes and We Found New Music and like big ones like that. And so this is a platform where the artists can just figure out which blogs they actually want to submit their music to. And they like buy credits or whatever. They give us their artwork. They give us all their Instagram handles and all that. They submit the music to us. We guarantee a 30-second listen at least. And then our job is to write feedback and give them constructive criticism on, you know, what's missing, what's going well, what, you know, why we passed or why we accepted the song, all that kind of stuff. So that way it helps them for their next song to break, because, you know, the more ears that hear your song, the better chance you have of it breaking or getting to the right people. And all that. And, you know, and so we got accepted to that and, you know, we're getting all these submissions now and we're super grateful that, you know, people like us enough to submit their music and spend their money to have us listen to their song. And there's no guarantee that it's going to get selected, but again, it's like law of averages and that's it. And that's how we're making money off of it. And we get submissions in all ways, shapes, sizes. Like I've had people mail me CDs, like really old school style. I've had, you know, through our website, through email, all that stuff. So, but yeah, SubmitHub's been really great. It's really easy to use. And if there's any artists listening that need to get their music out and heard, I highly suggest that, because there's a lot of very, very good big blogs out there that can really help you out. So.
Nah, man, I love it, dude. I love, man. Like I can tell just by talking to you, you have the entrepreneurial spirit, right? I mean, even though you've had things where, you know, you wanted to be the drummer, you wanted to be the rapper, whatever you went through, that path has led you to where you're at right now, man. You know, and like I said at the beginning of the show, I think everything happens for a reason. And like I said, just hearing you say what you just said, I mean, a true entrepreneur is always looking out a way, like, you know, okay, how can I add value first, right? After adding the value, it's like, hey, how can I monetize this? And that's simple, right? It's not like trying to take advantage of anything. It's not really, you know, trying to, but at the end of the day, it was looking at, okay, I have something here. Let me move it forward. And how can I make money on this? And dude, I love this story, man. It's badass.
Thanks, man. I just look at it as like, everything's been created already, right? Like there's everything's been made. It's just finding like integral or different iterations of like improving that thing. So for me, yes, there are a million blogs. How can you make it just this much better to separate? That's it. It's the same thing, any industry, anywhere. And that, right. That's it.
No, is it fine tuning it, finding exactly how you can stand out, right? Because like you said, there's a million blogs, there's a million podcasts out there. You know, there's a million musicians. I mean, the list goes on and on. But it's how do you stand out? And I think you found a good little, I mean, how you fell into it, how you started doing it, even from an early age, man. The entrepreneurial spirit has been carried with you. And I'm telling you, dude, from that age, it led you to where you're at. And that's just super awesome, man, for sure.
It's making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, bro.
Hey, man, got to. So, Mike, through your journey, man, since we're talking about that right now, from the highs to the lows, brother, what has been the most difficult thing about staying true to the path of where you need to be, man?
That's a great question, man. It's just life is very distracting. Like we talked about before that, like before we went live, is like, I have a 2-year-old, really, like, I want to make sure that he gets the best things in life. It's always that whole, like, giving him better than you had and all that. And I'm not going to bullshit you. I've lived a really good life. Like my parents are awesome. I have an amazing wife. Like I have a great, my sister's awesome. Like she's so supportive of me, all that stuff. Like I don't have any of that, but that's not what drives me. What drives me is like being able to give that to other people and using your failures to prop you up to be better, like learning from them, all that stuff, right? Like, you played team sports. I've played team sports. Like it's all about, you play baseball, right? That's the perfect analogy, right? You're going to strike out. You're going to get 5 times at bat. You're going to strike out 4 times, but you hit it 1 time. Like, you know, like it's that mentality and being an entrepreneur, doing anything in business. It's like fail, 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 succeed. You know what I mean? And to get back to my point, it's just distractions, right? Distractions are terrible. And like, life is hard and you have to just like either set time aside to focus on that passion at some point. Like for me, it's after he goes to bed, it's nighttime. It's when I can focus on drippy stuff because I have a regular job and I have, which I love. I love my job too. So it's just like, you know, just balancing out all that stuff, man. Cause life, dude, gets messy.
It does, man. Clutter gets in the way, right? You always have something that distracts you, some obstacle to always navigate around or through. And I think staying true to being an entrepreneur, man, you got to continue to move forward, right? Or just in general, in life, you got to continue to move forward. And baseball, like you said, is a perfect analogy, right? What sport can you fail 70 times, right? Or 70 out of 100, right? 7 times out of 10. You can get up the bat. You can get out 7 times. As long as you hit it 3 times and get 3 hits and bat 300, bro, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what entrepreneurship is, right? Get out there, fail, learn from your failures, continue to move forward. And just, I don't even view when I fail or don't succeed at something. I really don't. I just, it's a learning experience, right? I think when you fail is when you give up. And so I think as long as we as entrepreneurs are just people, just as people, as long as we continue to move forward, as long as we continue to know that it's not, there's somebody always is in a worse spot than us. And that if you really look at it in hindsight, your life is not as bad as it seems. You know, you're always more well off than you actually think. Right. I mean, when I was going through depression, man, a lot of that's in your head. A lot of that is like self-doubt. A lot of that, you know, we do the imposter syndrome a lot with us personally as individuals that hold us back. We're like, I'm not this person or whatever, but as entrepreneurs and just as people, and to have a positive mindset, you got to say, look, I am that dude, right? I can make this happen, and just make it happen, bro.
Failure is important, right? Like there's a saying that a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Like it can't be perfect and laid out in front of you. Like failure is important to growing and learning. That's it.
So, man, I think that takes us to this last question, man. And as we wrap up this episode, if you can give our only one thing to our listeners, right, you know, which are actually entrepreneurial, what one piece of advice would you leave them with, man?
I think that's it, man. Like a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor, man. Like you have to just go through the bumps in the road. Everybody has struggles in one way or another. Not every bucket of your life is going to be like super easy. Yeah. Like you could have the money side all figured out, but your personal life is shit, or like the complete opposite. It's just like, there's always going to be obstacles, and you just have to know that it's going to be okay, man.
I love it, dude. I mean, I think that's perfect. I mean, even though you said that already, that's a perfect way to wrap it up, you know? And I think that's a wrap for this episode. And Mike, I want to thank you, brother, for joining me and helping us continue to add value on what we're trying to do on our podcast.
I really, really, truly appreciate you having me. And let's start that Seminoles podcast, man. Let's go.
Dude, talk about that. It's happening, brother. After we push end on this record here, brother, we're going to talk about it. But guys, thank you so much for listening to Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Mike O is working on, check out drippyk.com, guys. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com. We also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you found value in our show, guys, please consider making a donation. Even just a few dollars helps us keep things moving along or brings value to your journey. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs, guys. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.